Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Man, we got a full slate of topics and issues to cover today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's we're in the fall. We're in hurricane season. We got hurricane season. Sports up, though. We got sports up first. We got our Detroit Lions showing out. Monday Night Football, you know, the show they showed on Tuesday. So I watched it at Pints, of course, yesterday. We had, speaking of sports, we got to toot the horn for the Lady Reds basketball. Coach Walker put into place. We had Kentucky, a scout from Kentucky, a scout from DePaul, a coach from DePaul, and one of Susie's Merchant's coaches came from Michigan State to practice.
Okay.
So the girls got it in front of them.
So somebody has passed the word.
Yeah.
Go take a look at the girls' basketball program at Muskegon, man. Yep.
That's Coach Walker. He putting it together, you know, and Keith Guy's giving him an opportunity to open the gate like that and to advertise the talent. And it's just showing you that Muskegon's turning the corner. The Lady Reds are turning the corner. That's good expectation. So
it is.
That's how my Monday went.
Great, man. That's great news because ultimately that's what we want to see happen with our sports programs is that these young student athletes get an opportunity to go play basketball at the next level and get their education paid for.
That's right, for free. So let us know it's a hotbed of talent that kids are eligible to be at the next level so they can make sure they take their family to a new level and a new income bracket. That's absolutely the thing, man.
I mean, that's one of the main topics we cover is this college tuition debt.
That's right.
That people incur when they're trying to go to college. So anytime you get an opportunity to get a full ride or even a partial ride, that does help defray the cost of a higher education, which is, again, what we applaud and work so hard for on a daily basis for our kids to get that opportunity.
That's right.
So that is very good news, Chauncey.
Yep, that's good. Yep, so
that's got good.
Yep. So we were in the chat, watched the Lions that night, and I was like, man, the Lions looking good. They played the Jets.
Yeah.
And they was kicking the Jets' butt.
Yeah. No, Giants. They had the Giants.
Yeah, Giants. Yeah, Giants. Yeah,
New York Giants. Which –
red and white. My fault.
I don't know what's going on with that organization.
Yeah, they
fall off. But they – I don't know. There's something missing. Okay. I mean,
for
it's
the
Super
Giants.
Bowl. They won Super Bowls before,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, we've never – I mean, the best thing that we got is a one playoff. The stat was since 1957, we have won one playoff game yet. And but, yeah, we carry the tag of the highest-paid player in the league.
That's good. I seen him get punched in the game in the huddle. Somebody was like, ugh. When they tackled him.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy. He's like, he said, why are you laughing? I say, you didn't see that guy punching? He's punching because he was a highest-paid quarterback.
Right.
Taking a cheap shot at him.
Yeah, and then, you know, on the flip side, all this week they've had Brady on talking about his regiment at 40 years old, still in the league. He said he is as fast as he is than he was at 18, at 40, and it was basically because of his lifestyle. But yet
– Is it a LeBron juice he got too?
I don't know. He didn't go into detail. He didn't share all the secrets.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really – kind of a weird phenomenon when you look at it. Here we got a Brady won Super Bowls, but yet is not the highest paid player in the league.
You're right.
But has been, looked at as the best in the league. So it's kind of an incongruent situation when you look at it where a mediocre team at best has the tag of paying a particular player more money than anybody else, $27 million a year.
And you know that check broken up into 16 weeks now. You get it every Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they check come in. Yes, they check come in on Mondays.
It's a direct deposit. You can't carry that check around.
Man, a Monday check like that. You get that check for 16 Mondays.
Well,
then you go to the playoffs, you get another check.
How many regular season games in the league? 16.
16.
So if you do $27 million, divided by 16.
I'm going to be precise. Let's be precise.
You make about one.
I'm going to give you the exact number.
$250,000 per game.
Every Monday. But look, it's taxed differently too. So because whatever.
Oh, no
so
doubt.
They played in New York yesterday, right?
There's a huge tax difference. Yeah, he has to pay for that day. He has to pay income tax in
New York. Then when he came back to Michigan, so it's $1.6 million
per game.
Per game.
Okay.
That's per week.
16, yeah. You get a bye week in there, though. We'll throw a bye. It's a 17-week season, actually play 16 games.
You get a free check.
Get a free check. That's ridiculous.
So if I play a bad game Sunday and I wake up Monday, I got $1 million.
The check is still the same. If you get hurt, the check is still the same.
Man.
Is that incredible? And, you know, our audience – are people that get up to work, get up every day, go to work, and don't make a fraction
of that
money. But yet, not the best player in the league, but yet demands the highest salary.
But that's just, some of the guys in the past, they spent that whole check in the week. They used
the
whole check in the week.
Yeah, there's some horror stories about little these check guys to check. That go through that money, man.
Check because they make sure all their family don't work no more, all that and things. But see, you got, like you said, on the flip side, you got Tom Brady that lived a humble life.
Yeah, nothing other than Deflategate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, no DUIs, no domestic violence. Nothing that really tarnishes his career from a legal standpoint. But yet, I don't know. I'm sure he's not missing any meals. His bills is all paid. But that's just an incredible amount of money for an individual to get paid. Again, that is not the best. But he's got a good agent, okay?
Yes, sir.
He's got a good agent. I just have to give credit where credit is due. They didn't hold out. They negotiated, and Detroit gave them what they asked for. And in America, that is free enterprise.
You're right.
So hats off to his agent, whoever he is. So, but yeah, and then we move on. We got our big Reds. They're still on the roll.
That's right.
You know, we know what's down the road.
Reese Puffer this week.
We got Reese Puffer this week. And then the following week is Union.
Okay.
We got Union, Kennewick Hills, and then we have the Mona Shores Showdown, which everybody is looking forward to.
Because Mona Shores ran through Reese Puff.
Yeah, 44-6. So, you know, in the back of the minds of the Big Reds, they're thinking if they scored 44, we got to score 70. Just to say that we did it. So it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, you know, our league is not very strong.
That kind of hurt us because they look like that. Does that mess us with us in the ranking or something?
It does. And from the points. See, in the playoff system, you get points for teams that you beat that continue to win.
Okay.
Okay, so unfortunately, we know the Unions won't win a game. Kennewick Hills won't. Puffer, they have won some games. They won 3.
Yes, right.
So we'll get some points there. But ultimately, it does hurt us from the standpoint of getting like a number one seed for the points. But, hey, it is what it is. We have to play. And regardless where it's at, Big Reds will show up and we will play whoever it is.
Man.
So, but, yeah.
So since I'm on football and gridiron, the United Nations had their meeting.
Yeah, just caught some excerpts from the meeting, and the main topic was North Korea.
That's right. In New York, right?
In New York.
They raised the flag.
Nations. United Nations is in New York. And, of course, you mean like security.
So Donald Trump was like, 10 feet away from?
Yeah.
The Korean. They was right there.
Kim Jong-un. Okay. He is, you know, you have to understand that the history of North Korea, it's not like they have elections. Okay, it's sort of like a dictatorship.
Dictatorship, I'm here.
Yeah. My dad was the ruler, and I was the next in line.
Successor, yeah,
so,
I'm the son.
You know, I might be young, but it doesn't matter because he's the ruler and I'm next in line. And there's 26 million people, I think, in North Korea.
In a small place.
Yeah, in a very small populated place. Kind of third world country.
They don't have a lot of money.
No, but they spend a lot of money on their military.
They advertise it. It's like to the point where they advertise it like, let's say if we have 4th of July, they advertise nuclear missiles on banners.
Oh, yeah.
and like,
oh yeah, they had to be, you know,
like
the
propaganda.
Parades.
Yeah, like propaganda. Off. They ride the missiles through the, the city. Like, here we go.
See what I got? My gun. I got a big gun, right?
Man.
Donald told him today. He said, "We'll wipe you off the face of the earth."
And it's
that guy, man, I tell you,
he crazy.
So they're saber rattling right now.
Yeah, they are. They talk
saber rattling.
Wolf tickets, both sides.
Yeah, so it's just going to take the world leaders to come together and say, okay, North Korea, enough is enough. You have developed your nuclear weapons, and now, I mean, this is, we're going back to what, you know, the Middle East was all about with the Bush administration.
That's right.
With the weapons of mass destruction.
Then you talk about, then you got to go back to Gorbachev with the Cold War.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of money making stuff.
Yeah.
Bomb fallout places where you got shelters.
The shelters.
All that stuff. Well, we spent a lot of money in the schools and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
From the threat of nuclear war. And like I say, the leader of North Korea said that he is not afraid to use them. On the
so just off a threat. So basically, just off a threat, that could affect our economy. I'm going to do this too. And they so then I'm going to look at my package with the government and say, I got to spend so many trillions of dollars on my military, beefing them up and making sure that the Marines or the Navy is out in Korea in a boat. Make sure I got some soldiers stationed over there so I can attack them. So that's a lot of dollars that
that's
we spend.
A lot of dollars.
On fuel and the ammunition and by man hours.
Yes, it is.
Because there's people out there from Muskegon right now. It's people that's from this community that's in Korea, that's stationed right now.
Oh, yeah.
On the water.
Around the world, man. Around the world. You got to remember, we just decided to increase the number of troops in Afghanistan. Okay, so that's another additional drain on the resources of the military. Okay, because for whatever reason, they decided that's what we needed to do. Okay, then you compound all of the international type of events with the natural disasters that we've had to endure over the last month in this country. So there's a huge drain on the federal government for money.
Yeah. Okay? My thing is, like, I've been, like you see, I've been real curious about that. So, like, I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm listening to some guys, and they talk about the budget for the government, right?
Okay.
We're talking about that cover everything. You say that's so many trillions, right?
Trillions, yes, sir.
But then they said, go look at the stock market, like a company. Take one company,
mm-hmm.
and their budget is bigger than so many companies. Budget is bigger than what the government is doing.
No way. That's almost impossible, Charles. I mean, the amount of money that this government spends. I mean, you take a look at the largest companies that we know of, which at one time was our auto companies, General Motors. Now some of them are more tech-type companies like Facebook, your Yahoo, your Google. They have amassed, you know, billions of dollars. But the kind of money that this government spends, I don't know if we can find 100 companies and put them together, 1,000 to equal the money that we spend when you think about the mass expansion of this, what this country does. Think about this. Social Security. We have people that get paid Social Security disability all across this country. Millions and millions of people on a monthly basis get these kinds of checks. You look at Washington, D.C., the amount of money that it takes to run that city from the government standpoint, the number of employees that they employ. Then you throw in the military. All branches of the military, Air Force, Navy, Marines, the Army, the Coast Guard, then you throw in the space exploration, okay? There's a huge, huge amount of money that this country spends on a daily basis. And then you say, okay, how can we spend all this money just like that? All right, natural disasters. They gave a number the other day that FEMA has already spent about $2 billion. Between Texas and California with billions to go.
You're right.
And yet we still maintain all the other services that the government provides.
And they're just not balancing it. So like,
oh, we operate at a deficit.
Yeah.
Oh, we are. Our government is horrible when it comes to budgeting.
That's what I was talking about. Like the surplus is like,
there is no,
it's not even equivalent to like a major company. That's what I was trying to get, like, okay. A major corporation is like, the surplus, we have no surplus. It's like,
no.
If you're in the business of government, you're not in the business of making no money.
No. No, we spend money. And, you know, an unfortunate part about it is the government can actually print money.
Just because.
Okay.
It's like we almost print money. Like fake money. Like we're just going to print it. Here you go.
Right.
Yeah, but they got serial numbers on attached to it, so it's like they just print it for this.
Oh, you can just make up serial numbers, man. Oh, yeah.
Because it's connected to the stock market, not like the gold standard no more. So you can just go wherever you want to go.
Well, it used to be connected to the gold standard, like Fort Knox.
You have more red tape to go through. Now it's like, hey.
Yeah. So that's the whole issue in Congress and the revamping of the IRS that Bush is talking, Trump is talking about doing to put more money in the pockets of middle America, which is great, but we have to really take a look at spending. It's no different than how you run your own household.
Okay? It's a budget.
But
I can't put up money, though, Tony.
No, you can't. You don't have a money tree.
If I put up money, I'm going to jail.
Yes, you will.
My wife said, I need $500. I'm like, okay, let me go to school
right
quick.
I'll be in the basement. I'll be right back.
I got these dollars from Monopoly money. We're going to go spend. For this game I got at home, this board game.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've made it almost extremely difficult to print money now with all of the different designs that they have. You watch them now, you go to the store, they got the lights, they got the markers. It's real difficult to print counterfeit money. But the things that we're talking about today affects each and every one of us directly and indirectly. Just like we had talked about a couple weeks ago, the devastation in Florida, which destroyed the orange crop, the oranges, avocados, tomatoes, not to mention tourism.
The fishing industry, too, was affected.
The fishing industry, because all the boats is all piled up on top of each other.
Then, like you said, Key West was like wiped out.
Oh, just wiped out, man.
Those little peninsulas, the little islands. Gone.
Yeah. And, you know, people built in areas that 50 years ago were basically what we call wetlands.
Yeah.
And as the tide ebb and flowed, you know, they would absorb the water. But now when that water comes in, especially in the waves that came in, it has nowhere to go. So it just sits in pools. So the people in Florida, as well as Houston area, they have to make a decision. I seen a couple this morning say this is their third, and they were in Houston. Third major flooding event. And the husband's response was, three strikes, you out. He said, we're not rebuilding. We're getting ready to pack up, and we're going to leave. And that was just one person. But there's probably hundreds of thousands of other individuals that has to make that decision because they had no flood insurance. Okay? No flood insurance. So now you're at the mercy of the federal government. And this may take months, maybe years, to determine what kind of aid you will receive from the government in order to rebuild your house or refurbish your house because of all the drywall, the woods, the furniture, all that stuff has to go. And so people are making conscious decisions based on, you know, the money that they have available. Do I rebuild? Do I walk away? Even those that have mortgages are saying, you know what? I'm better off just walking away from this situation.
Yeah, leave that property. That's over.
Because I'm virtually broke. Because
how does insurance look at it when you build a house in a floodplain? That's what it is, right?
That's what it is. And you have to have
a rider on your insurance.
And the federal government determines what a flood zone is.
So they can change it on you?
Well, yeah. Not the insurance companies. The federal government are the ones that manage the flood insurance, per se.
Wow, so if the insurance company don't have enough money, because like you said, it's a pool that everybody pay in.
Right, it's a pool that everybody pays in.
Now, this is something I'm mentioning. Like, it's like a lottery.
Yeah.
Like a lottery pool.
Yes, it is.
Insurance, come in insurance.
Yes,
so if somebody buy so many tickets, and you get so many winners at once, and you can't pay out.
Okay.
What do you tell them? Hey,
I owe you.
I owe you.
Or we're denied a claim. It's basically what happens. So, take for instance, somebody's home that didn't have flood insurance but had homeowner's insurance.
Yes, the contents.
The contents will be covered, okay? But the structure and the frame of that house for whatever damage, the roof, whatever caused damage, it will not be covered under that policy. So if you had $100,000 or $150,000 in contents, then, yeah, you can get that replaced.
Okay.
But yet you might have $200,000 in structural damage.
Wow.
That you got, you're at the mercy of the government to say, okay, we will give you a low interest loan in order to get this work done. These are not gifts.
So I'm mortgaging the house already.
Right. But in order to maintain
that's low for that.
My
I'm
residency,
I'm walking away.
I got to take on another loan from the government. They're not giving this money away. Okay? Not giving it away.
That don't work.
So that's just a piece of it. Then, you know, you got to talk about the automobiles. Just in Houston alone, there was like 500,000 automobiles that were affected by the storm. Insurance companies, for those that were insured, they'll pay those folks off, okay? And when the insurance company take possession of those vehicles, they basically have a jobber that buys them off the insurance company, and they either take them through a wholesaler
auction
or auction, part them out, that kind of thing. So there's definitely a concern with those cars showing up in other parts of the country at some point in time that were affected by this major flooding.
All you got to do, audience, is pay attention. I'm not going to name no dealerships, but like them mom and pop dealerships. If they see that, if you see a 2017,
yeah,
a lot, and it's like, what a Carfax is. There's no Carfax. Don't think it's a blessing.
Got to have a Carfax.
It's not a blessing. It's been waterlogged.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's only a matter of time before it'll break down, because of today, all the vehicles that have the electronic components in it, when they get wet,
it's over.
They may be able to dry them out for a while, but over time they will corrode, and your car will start to malfunction. And
you got the firewall to protect the wires, but other than that, when you flood, it's over.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime you drive through a flood and you get a car that's, you know, get water into the compartments of the vehicle, chances are you'll never recover from that.
And I don't know why they do that, drive their car through the water like that.
Well, some of it is just pure ignorance. You know,
because I seen some people drown.
They think they're protected. Yeah.
I seen some people drown like that. It was going to flow like they was like
no.
Cartoons or something.
No, they like, tell you. You know, because some of them, roads were washed out. You couldn't see them. But if you drive through the water and the road is washed out, that's instant fatality, man.
I say if you got a hilly road, like say you like your road, like, oh, I'm going down this road and it's on the incline, like going down Sherman, and say, okay, I'm going down Sherman Street before I get to Getty, and it'll dip. I'm going straight.
Yeah, but the water's there. They won't see you again.
Because, you know, Muskegon Heights on the hill.
Right.
So you like, I'm going to ride down all the water flow. It's straight.
Never see you again, man.
Never see you again because you got to come back up.
If you get through the water.
If you get through the water.
Yeah.
Submerged.
And we do have flood zones in Muskegon, which is along Muskegon River.
Yes.
In the springtime, with the runoff from the snow and what have you, those people do have insurance policies with the flood insurance rider on them. But for the most part, I would say, you know, 90% of Muskegon is not a flood zone. I mean, we've seen some rains where we get a few streets that flood out. A lot of that just has to do with the sewer system backing up.
Yep.
But there's, you know, you got to make sure that you have the right coverage on your policy in order to cover those damages too. All right.
Yes.
So it may not be considered flood insurance, but it's called water and sewer backup. And definitely check with your insurance carrier to make sure you have that. Especially, we're more prone to have those kinds of things in the winter, when the snow melts and we get that rain. And the rivers are already cresting, and the sewers, like I said, the leaves and what have you, that kind of backs the sewers up, and that's what helps cover the cost, is that particular rider on your homeowner's policy or your renter's insurance policy as well.
So if the city is flooded, how does the city come back? Like with the city workers and all that, what's that dynamic when it comes to, like, is it a millage you got to put out? Or what? What is that again?
Well, as far as maintaining the sewer systems?
Like, when everything flood like that, like, okay, hurricane come in. What's the dynamics of the city when it's come to spending money?
Oh, the city, they become strapped, okay? And that's a part of the national disaster funding, where the federal government will help defray some of the cost of the cleanup for the cities, okay? To pay the overtime, you know, the purchase of equipment, because
that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
So if I'm an overtime worker, I'm gonna get paid.
You're gonna make a lot of money. Absolutely.
Because it could be misappropriation of funds too. Now, like, I'm gonna,
of course it is.
My staff's gonna get more than the other staff in this zip code now. Because that's when you start hitting zip codes,
right? And then the other piece is that the city says, okay, we have X amount of workers, but we can also hire contractors.
That's inflated rates with their
rigs and their personnel to assist in the cleanup, and a lot of it has to do with trying to make sure that we don't turn into an epidemic of diseases. Because if you don't, you know, clean your house out, that'll mold and mildew, and you get black mold in your house, and now you got a whole nother issue to deal with. And again, a lot of insurance policies don't cover black mold, so it's imperative that, you know, people make sure they review those policies when it comes to these natural disasters. But yeah, that's why it's when you see city officials stand up and asking for the federal government to declare disasters, that's when they open up the pocketbook to come in and help cities pay for it, because most cities are already operating, if not at a deficit, at a very, very slim surplus. So anything that comes in and upsets that dynamic, they need assistance from the federal government.
Serious budget issues.
Yeah, serious budget issues. And, you know, like I said, we're talking about Katrina, man. They haven't totally recovered from Katrina.
No, they haven't.
Down in the New Orleans area. And here we are, you know, we got two major areas in the United States that have been affected. But it looks like the gas situation is starting to level out. We were up in the $2.80 for a while, but I think today they're right around $2.20. But it's really strange. I purchased gas on the Henry Street, Sherman Street corridor.
Yeah.
For like $2.20.
Yeah, I bought some gas for that.
But I go out Apple Street.
$2.45.
And it's $2.45 and $2.50.
Why is that?
That's a very good question. I think the owners of the gas stations just feel that if there's no need or any pressure to lower the rates and people still drive up and buy that extra 20, 30 cents a gallon, that's more profit for them. But, yeah, that's a very good question.
Skimming.
And these are some of the same gas stations, shall I say.
Same brand. Yeah.
From one side of the town to the other, but yet there's a 30 cents gallon difference in a matter of a few miles.
Zip code again, like I said, the zip code is something different.
But yeah, we will definitely see some repercussions here in Michigan in the next couple of months. Like I say, price of orange juice is definitely going up.
People even moving up here. I know some people that move from Texas move back, like people that work for themselves, like entrepreneurs and stuff.
Okay.
They move back.
Had enough.
I was somebody early today. They moved back. I was like, yeah, man, I'm back. I'm still doing my vendor work. I'm gonna do it here. I'm gonna go here. I'm gonna fly there, and I'm back with my family here. So I was like, wow, okay. I'm looking at that. Like, it's gonna be probably families moving back to come to school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think
they've been devastated and wiped out? Because some people living just in apartments, so they lost all their contents.
Everything.
If you know, like I know, a lot of people don't have renter's insurance.
Oh no.
Certain places, certain. Townhomes, apartments, they make you get it.
Yes, it's mandatory.
But certain places don't.
They don't.
They just want to get that check, that monthly check.
Yep. And if you got to start over, I guess it's they're saying, okay, if I got to start over,
I might come back home.
I might as well go back home, okay? Because there's nothing to say that I can start over here in this location,
and
next year it happens again.
And then, like I said, the FEMA check not coming until like four months from now.
Yeah.
So if you don't have no insurance, insurance is gonna take a minute to come too.
Yes, it is.
So if you don't have no surplus money, no savings or nothing, you gonna have to come back.
Yeah, it's sort of like a trickle down effect where that FEMA money is gonna go to
top heavy
municipalities
first
to get all the the services up and running, and then it'll trickle down to helping people get their homes back in order. But again, that's gonna take a long time. But yeah, we will definitely see increases in consumer goods over the next few months. So, and unfortunately, we have been forecasted with a winter. It won't be a mild winter, let's put it that way.
No, it won't.
So,
I see it coming. Well. I wasn't going to be cold. Yeah, I got to take my vehicle to get service. I'm getting that done.
Get your snow
right
blower.
Now.
Don't wait for the first snow to go get your snow blower serviced. If you have one, get it done now. And it'll be a lot cheaper, too. Okay, because it's like anything else. If you wait for that first snow and you got a problem, you take it in, trust me, they're going to charge you more. Yep. So you know it's coming.
Get everything done.
So might as well go ahead and get it done early.
Tires on cars, all yep. that. Get everything ready, your heat, core fix, intake, yeah. everything.
Because we got 80 degrees right now, yeah. heading into the end of September, but we know it won't last for long.
I didn't go in storage to touch none of them winter coats and them boots, them Timberland boots and them cargo pants and skull caps. I'm looking at them like, okay. I'm like, I'm riding the other day. We were at the beach working out. I'm running. I'm running them 3 miles. I'm like, yeah, I feel good out here.
Okay.
Then I seen the lady, shout out to the MCC girls basketball and boys basketball team. They was out there working out too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm looking at them. They in the water. The girls in the water working out.
Wow.
I was like, hold on.
It's been relatively warm.
Yeah, it was hot. It was nice. I had a hoodie on. We was working. I was sweating, and I'm running. I'm like, I'm laying out in the water.
Okay.
The basketball team. I'm looking like, wow. So, people just getting insane out here.
Okay, this weather is weird, man.
Yes, it is.
This is weird. Well,
so I got to. I want to make an announcement. I was talking to someone, one of our community partners. We're trying to get ready to start a Man of Color Read at Oakview, and Norm from the ISD. He has something called the 2017 Fatherhood Summit, and it says Fathers Matters, and I felt like this was necessary to mention it on our show today.
Great.
It says Muskegon Correct Career Tech Center, when October 28, 2017, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. from again 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. All male role models, fatherhood focus. It's a free event, a lunch provided, vendors available, and limited space. So if you want to come in and sell something, anything, get together. They say you can text join CBG74C to 810-10. For the Father Matters, join CBG74C to this number, 810-10. And it's just, or you can contact Norm Young at 616-304-8360. I just feel it's a good initiative for our county.
Of course.
Because we have a lot of Alice families. We got a lot of single parent mothers.
Right.
And just seeing all the fatherhood and brothers that's some type of role model in your community come out to that event. And it's at the Career Tech Center. And it's
College.
Yep. Out by the college. Yeah. So
that is awesome.
10 to 2 p.m. Come get a good lunch and hang out and hear a good word. He said he has a keynote speaker named Cole Williams coming. So usually don't do this, but hey, I'm.
And what was that date again, Charles?
It's October 28, 2017. I saw him the other day, getting ready to do some partnerships with him.
Saturday, I believe it is.
October 28th's got to be. I think it's a Saturday. Let me check again because they don't have the actual day on here.
Yeah, well, that's a great event. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep, it's a Saturday. That's great. Okay.
Yes.
That's perfect. That fits everybody's schedule.
10 to 2.
10 to 2, free lunch.
That's okay.
Career Tech Center.
Yep.
So check it out.
4 hours.
Norm. I actually have his number on here too. I'm gonna pull that up for you, and you can call him and contact him and come out. You know, it'd be worth it. His phone number is 616-304-8360, and it's Young at MuskegonISD.org. He works for the ISD, and he's doing something where fathers matter in the community, getting them immersed in issues and things where they can volunteer, where they don't have to find stuff. It just already be set up for them through the ISD, because the ISD is the educational
intermediate school district that oversees this entire county area.
So I call them the organism that's like the heartbeat of education in our county.
You're absolutely right.
So we're just an extension of everybody else.
And that's a great event because, you know, it goes into what we're talking about as far as helping folks become financially astute, and that process for our men
is
important. Okay, because
that's why
we teach
up.
Our children how to be financially responsible.
That's right. A daddy is a powerful thing. I always look at when I have my students in class, I had a student that had a cell phone in class today, daddy came right up.
Okay.
I knew the dad and everything. He said, he looked at his son, I told you, Mr. Williams don't play.
That's right.
He can't run no game on him. And there's a level of respect there because all males in the room, it's like two fathers in the room and myself. So it's just showing like the little boy looking like, well, it's three men right in front of me.
Great.
And they all know each other, and they all serious about our education. we don't have no time to be playing on no phones in class. So
nope.
That was that was powerful seeing those men there in that place respecting my word and making their calling their kids accountable on the carpet for it. Like this we about learning.
That's it.
And that seldom happens. So I seen that. So trying to get those fathers out. So just support the young brother Norm Young. I see him doing some great things, and it's just good. Well, that's good. Our show today, Tony. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.